It's a joy to sing with you all. It's so fun to be able to sit and sing with God's people. I'm normally up here leading, and to be able to sit and hear you all sing and sing with you, it's just a joy. We are continuing in our series on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. That's page 761 in the Bible in the seat back in front of you. If you don't have your own copy of the Scriptures and would like to have one, please take that Bible in the seat back in front of you as our gift to you. We want you to have the Word of God in your hands. So Jesus, in this sermon, has been bringing conviction to our hearts, reorienting our vision, and pressing us toward true righteousness. Not hypocrisy, not an outward show of righteousness, but true righteousness that comes from the heart, a heart of love for God, a heart that pursues God, knows God's love, and responds with love for God. In the passages just before our passage this morning, Jesus brings up the idea of rewards. That's something we strive for. And he turns our attention now in our particular passage in a more personal direction. He speaks of treasure. Now, a reward might be something that is outside of ourselves that we strive to get to. A treasure, on the other hand, is something that we love, that we hold dear. It's deep inside of us. And so some questions for us as we consider our passage, as we come to our passage. What is your treasure? And where is your treasure? What is your focus? And where is your focus? What do you value? What do you hold dear? And where is your value? What we treasure in our hearts and what fills our vision is what we serve and worship. So let's read this God's word, Jesus' words for us this morning. Would you please stand as I read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. And it's my understanding that our elementary school kids have these first couple of verses memorized. And so if you want to just say them quietly along with me, that would be just fine. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Allow me to pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this, your word, and we pray as we meditate upon it that you would bring conviction of sin to our hearts. Lord, that you would bring encouragement to us to follow in your ways. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, there was a time, a long time ago, and it was a brief time, when the soft drink company Coca-Cola made clothing. And that clothing was highly sought after. In fact, the height of fashion somewhere in the late 80s and early 90s was having a Coca-Cola sweatshirt or shirt and Guess jeans on. Now, that may seem inconceivable to those of you who are younger than me, but those who are older than me remember that time. Well, a Coca-Cola sweatshirt was the object of my affection. It's what I desired, what I treasured. The script, the red, loopy letters of Coca-Cola filled my vision. And there was a particular sweatshirt, one with a white collar and red, and it was white here with the words Coca-Cola across it and red below, that I desired. Now, mind you, I have never taken much interest in fashion, but for some reason at that point in my life, I did. And I don't particularly like Coke as a drink, but I wanted that sweatshirt. And lo and behold, I got it. And I was so excited. That sweatshirt was going to make me look so cool. And so I wore it to school that next day after I got it, was sure that everyone was looking at me, was sure that I was getting the reaction that I wanted. But instead, I got another kind of reaction. At that point, I realized that new clothes with the dye and something about new clothes reacted with me in a way that wasn't great. So my eyes were really itchy and my nose was running and I was getting a little bit of that rash because I just react to new clothes that way. So I came home from that day of school and I took off the sweatshirt and I put it into the laundry. And it went into the washing machine, white and red and white and red. And it came out pink. And I wore it no more. Treasures stored up on earth are fleeting. They pass away. In our passage this morning, Jesus brings conviction to our hearts. What do you treasure in your heart? He gives us his caution. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And the way that the Greek reads here, we might read it in English like this: don't treasure up for yourselves treasures on earth. He uses it twice. And we get this sense of what we hold dear and what we hold on to, what defines us and what gives us value. Don't store that up. Don't put that in things on earth, because moth just and rust destroy that. They eat away at those things. And thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus warns us, what we treasure will capture our allegiance. There's a phrase, you put your money where your mouth is. The phrase is, you put your money where your mouth is. A similar statement might be this: you put your heart where your treasure is. Whatever that treasure might be, whether it be money or clothes or houses or jewelry or something like that. And in a broken world, broken treasures will end up broken, worthless for eternity. Like the pharaohs of old who were buried with all of their stuff around them, and it does them no good. You can't take it with you. It doesn't mean we don't use it here. It means that our worth is not in earthly treasure. It doesn't consume you, even as it is consumed by the brokenness and destroying nature of this world. Earthly treasures get eaten up and taken. And ironically, earthly treasures also eat away at our souls, and they take us. They consume us. And we're talking about treasure, and I can't help thinking about my 10-year-old self if I'm talking about treasure with an X marks the spot on a map and the pirates of old, you know, are the pirates. We were the pirates in my high school for some reason. But the pirate spends his life searching for treasure, earthly treasure that drives him to unscrupulous ends. You may also think of Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, who had his precious, the One Ring. It weighed on his heart and it filled his vision until it wasted away at his body. And finally, he died for it in the end. It's an example of how earthly treasure is consuming. Earthly treasure is also fleeting. Scottie Scheffler, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is a professional golfer, just became currently ranked number one in the world, and he gave a press conference this week, and he said, you know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life. And then you get there, and all of a sudden, you get to number one in the world, and they're like, what's the point? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know. Because if I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes. And then we're going to get into the next week, and it's going to be like, hey, you won two majors this year. How important is it for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs? And it's just like we're back here again, you know? Earthly treasure is fleeting. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. But Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. The Heisman Trophy is the highest award given to collegiate football players. And years ago, Danny Werfel won that trophy, and then he was drafted into the NFL, the next level of football. And as he went in, there was a press conference about it, and he was asked whether he was nervous about failing in the NFL because so many Heisman Trophy winners fail in the NFL. And his reply was something like, if this doesn't work out, I'll go do ministry. And after several different teams and several years in the NFL, it didn't work out. And he went to work for Desire Street Ministries in New Orleans to reach people with the gospel, using his time and his talents and his treasure to reach people with the gospel. This week in Vacation Bible School, one of the concepts we're going to be teaching the kids and that we all need to remember is Scripture interprets Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 through 19, give us insight on our passage this morning. Paul writes this, as for the rich, we might say, as for the wealthy, the talented, those who are good with relationships, those who have lots of worldly wealth, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides for us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. What are the treasures in heaven? Treasure in heaven is certainly, first and foremost, knowing the God who made you and resting in his salvation. Knowing the God who made you and knowing that he has bought you and reconciled you to himself. Contentment. Contentment is another treasure that's stored up in heaven. Several weeks ago, Phil preached wonderfully on prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus calls us to pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. That's contentment. I have enough for today, and I'm content in that. That's surely a treasure stored up in heaven, a clear conscience before God. That is a treasure in heaven. Not a compromised conscience that has sought after things of this world and compromise our integrity and we've lied or hedged the truth or that kind of thing, but a clear conscience before the God of the universe, that's a treasure in heaven. The expectant joy of eternity, that one day all of this life will be but a speck, just a drop in the bucket. We have eternity with God, fellowship with his people. A treasure in heaven is Jesus. In Jesus, we have everything. He is our treasure. He is the one who says, fear not, little flock, in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure, and he just gives us his kingdom. Our personal kingdoms, our personal treasures, earthly wealth is not what we seek and not what we strive for. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So how do we apply this? Well, you might be facing a choice in your life right now. And it's good to apply this thought to that. In making this decision, am I storing up treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? Consider that. What about the desires of your heart? Are they stemming from God or from yourself? Consider that this week. Consider that even today. What are the desires of your heart? Perhaps you don't struggle much with material wealth and stuff. There are certainly many of us who do, but perhaps that's not your particular struggle. Perhaps it's a less tangible thing. Perhaps you are storing up treasures on earth with the respect that you might demand, or a good reputation, or physical beauty, or physical fitness, or that perfect job, or a household that runs just right, or popularity. What's the burden you're carrying today as you seek to build your own kingdom and pursue your own treasures? Have you forgotten that the best kingdom is the one that the Lord has built for you? What does it look like to turn from earthly treasures today and pursue eternal treasures in heaven? What does it look like to be content in Christ and to seek trying to strive for just that little bit more? That little bit more of approval? That little bit more of a house we wish we had? That little bit more of money, wealth, of fame, whatever? To lay that down and instead lay up treasures in heaven. Revelation gives us a great picture of what treasures in heaven looks like, and we'll be back in Revelation soon here in the next month or so. Jesus' call is for us to daily, even minute by minute, reorient our hearts towards heavenly things, towards serving our God. What do you treasure in your heart? What fills your eye? In verse 22, Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. He's obviously not talking about a physical eye. He's not encouraging us to go see our optometrist and get eye exams. He's talking in a way about the desires of our heart and the focus of our lives. Just like the heart is the seat of the affections. The eye is what we pursue and we look to. We might think of this phrase somewhat like this: the eyes are the windows to the soul. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye has a singular focus, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad or wicked or diseased, your whole body will be full of darkness. And this convicting phrase, if then the light in you is darkness, if what is supposed to be true and good and holy and right, if that is darkness, how great is the darkness? Our eyes direct our actions and our lives. We have a 16-year-old in our house. She has just learned how to drive. She's a great driver. But one of the things that we had to teach her was what we older drivers need to continually remember is that where your eyes go, that's where the car goes. So when you're driving along and you reach over for something in the seat next to you, and all of a sudden, you're hitting the rumble strip on the side of the road, it's because your whole body, the whole car, went to where your eyes went. What you focus on, what you consume, will shape you. The poet William Blake said it like this: we become what we behold. And so we have this healthy eye versus bad eye. The healthy eye looks outward. It considers the needs of others. It is prone towards generosity. It's focused on true and eternal things. It is good for our bodies and good for our lives and good for our eyes to focus on the Word of God. It's eternal. Have this fill your eye. Read it. Listen to it. read books about it, talk to people about it. It's eternal. And people have eternal lives as well. Are you seeking their good, reaching out with the gospel, finding someone to invest in, to disciple? Being around God's people is a good thing. The Word of God, the people of God, and prayer. We filling our eyes, our hearts with prayer. Going to God in our times of need. Going to God when our eyes seem to be losing focus and our heart is pulled towards other things. Prayer, talk to God. Jesus has commanded us to do that already here in the Sermon on the Mount. Do that. It's the healthy eye. But, Jesus says, if your eye is bad, meaning if your eye is evil or envious, or malice, has malice or stinginess or love for one's own possessions, the gist of this bad eye or evil eye terminology is really anti-generosity. It's against generosity. You're looking out for your own interests. Self-centered, you're navel-gazing. This is so easy to do in our day and age, in our digital day and age, with social media and algorithms. You go onto social media and you see what you want to see, and you click like or whatever, and so then you see more of what you wanted to see in the first place, and then more, and then more, and then more, and it becomes this echo chamber that focuses us more and more and more and more on ourselves and hearing what we want to hear. Might be hard to hear, but I really think too much social media leads to blind eyes, bad eyes. Greed blinds, envy blinds, sin blinds. It obscures the good and the true and the beautiful from God's word and God's world in our lives. So if you fill your eyes with pornography, your life will become dark and one-dimensional and angry. If you fill your eyes with envy, your life will become materialistic and brittle and bitter. If you fill your eyes with yourself, you will become miserable. You will despair of your life, and your life will seem worthless. We become what we behold. The psalmist in Psalm 115 says this: "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat." And then the psalmist hits us with this: "Those who make them, those who make the idols, become like them. And so do all who trust in them." We become what we behold. We consume it. We take it in. It fills our vision. And so the call is to repent. The call is to daily, even minute by minute, reorient our hearts and our vision. What do you treasure in your heart? What fills your eye? And what do you who do you serve? Who do you serve? Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Now, masters may be kind of a term that we're not as familiar with and seems kind of distant from us, but a master demands your whole self and you to follow in his ways and do what he is asking. Demands everything of you, and you can't serve two of them, Jesus says. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't say, my life goal is to earn money, and God, if you would help me out a little bit and come along, that'd be great. My life goal is to get fame, and God, just help me. Or to be friends with lots and lots of people and be very popular. And God, if you would just help out. No. He's the God of the universe. He spoke all things into existence. He is not some play toy or a servant of ours. No, we serve him. And so Jesus contrasts service here. You cannot serve God and money. This morning and this afternoon, we are worshiping the one true God in a worship service. Our desire here is to serve our God, to serve him. And worship, by definition, is service of something greater. In Hebrew and in Greek, we often translate words for service into worship in English, because that's what they mean. And so Jesus is saying what we treasure in our hearts and what fills our vision is what we serve and worship. So this is a question of worship. You will devote yourself to something. You will devote yourself to one or the other. The idolatry of this current age, that money word there is Aramaic, it's mammon, and it has this kind of personal sense to it. It's really idolatry is what we're talking about. It's the evil use of money. And so Jesus said, you're going to devote yourself either to the worship of God and the service of God, or you'll devote yourself to idols. A divided and distracted heart is a wayward and wandering heart, period. We fool ourselves into believing we can actually divide our hearts. We cannot. We cannot serve God and the world. We can't do both at the same time. If you straddle the fence, you are ultimately serving and worshiping the world and its idols. You can't serve two masters. You can't go halvesies with your heart. You'll be all in one way or the other. Jesus lays out this choice before us, like Joshua did in the book of Joshua 24, where Joshua says this, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And then what many of us have up in our houses, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We serve the Lord. We serve God. And all things, we use all things in his service, wealth and talents and gifting, relationships. We serve it all, we use it all to serve God. 1 Timothy 6, Paul says it like this, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." You get the understanding here, I hope, that laying up for yourselves treasures on earth is harmful for you. Filling your vision with darkness is bad for you. And serving mammon or money or idols is an awful way to live and will destroy you, and you'll end with nothing. Now, this is not an argument or a polemic against wealth. It's not an encouragement for you to throw away your 401k. After all, Jesus, in his parable of the talents and in many other places, commends investment and investment that grows. And there are plenty of people, as we've seen over these past weeks and months here at Covenant Presbyterian Church, who are generous, who have accrued wealth and give it. And don't treasure it in a way that weighs down their hearts and consumes their vision. They use wealth in service to God. Whether you think you are very rich or very poor, use wealth to serve the Lord your God. My in-laws and my parents are both examples of people who have invested well. And in their retirement, they're active and they're generous. Their worth is not in worldly wealth. They have enough to live on. And they share generously for the glory of God, as do many in this congregation. The question is, what do you treasure? What does it mean to serve God with your whole heart? It means using worldly things for the glory of God. In our City on a Hill campaign, we are hoping to and expecting to expand this physical building. But our hope and our treasure is not in this physical space. If it burned down tomorrow, we'd still be the church and still be seeking to love and serve our God and reach out with His gospel. Our mission would not change. It's just a building. It's just stuff. How do we use it to serve God? So, a diagnostic question for us that comes up in the next passage is, what stirs your anxiety? Well, that's probably where your treasure is. It's probably what's filling your eye. It's probably what you serve. It gives an indication of what you serve. Another question is, what angers you? We get angry when our treasure gets messed with. And sometimes that's wealth, but as a dad, I want to speak to you dads and go, and maybe parents in general, but especially dads. When we have our time to do our things, when we are relaxing in our ways and life and the family comes in, what's your response? Mine, like maybe many of yours, is often anger. And whose treasure is getting messed with then? It's my kingdom. It's my treasure. It's my world. You're messing with that. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth that are fleeting and consuming, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Your anger, brothers, is not justified because it's not godly anger. It's not righteous anger. We can believe it is in that moment, but it's not. Another question is, what are the temptations in your life that are weighing down your heart and filling your vision? You need to pluck out those temptations and chop them off. If you are using the justification, it's not that bad, brother or sister, you are treasuring that thing above God. It's a game I'm playing, but it's not that bad. It's a website that I'm on. It's not that bad of a website. The food or the amount of food I'm eating, it's not that bad. The thing that's taking up my time is not that bad. That's a justification. It's a justification for sin and for a heart that is seeking after other things and treasuring other things above God. Serving idols or mammon or self will bring anxiety. And that's why Jesus warns us about anxiety, calls us from that. What we treasure in our hearts and what fills our vision is what we serve and worship. Now, this is not just a one-time decision that you made way back when you decided to follow Jesus and that was that decision then. No, this is a daily, minute-by-minute reorienting of our hearts and our eyes and our vision towards truly serving our God, because by nature, we are so prone to treasure temporary and consuming and fading things. And so this is a call to repentance. A call to see our sin, confess our sin, and turn from our sin towards godliness. We're so prone to fix our vision on things that we bend for selfish purposes. So prone to serve ourselves and our idols. We're so prone to sin, and we need a Savior. We need one who did not treasure up stuff on earth. One who was pure in his vision, one who served God only. So turn from your sin, repent and believe in this Savior. Believe in Jesus. Trust in him with your treasure, but maybe better put, trust him as your treasure. Have your vision fixed on and filled with Christ. Choose this day and each day who you will serve. Here are a couple of phrases or ideas that might help us as we think about this. One, our former children's director here, Tanya Nash, had rules for her household, and one was this, and I think it's great. I think of it often. People are more important than stuff. People are more important than stuff. It's a good way to start thinking about where we put our treasure, whether on earth or treasuring up in heaven. Here's another. God's glory is more important than your glory. God's glory is more important than your reputation or your pride or your comfort. A third, the gospel of Jesus is the most precious thing in all the universe. There is nothing better than knowing that you are fully known, that you are fully forgiven of all your sins and fully loved by the God of the universe in Christ Jesus. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Allow me to pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these moments that we've had to meditate on your word, and we pray that you would be glorified in our lives, that we would be a people who would seek hard after things of you. Lord, that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love you with our wealth, love you with our talents, love you with our gifts. Lord, that you would be praised in our lives, that we would treasure Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.